Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
To know that this is the day that the Lord has made. and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We thank you again for tuning in to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Yes, you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, to tell them that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. I am your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. I'd like to take this time to introduce to you the panelists for our Breakthrough Broadcast. They are as following: Miss Helen Cooper, Elder Natasha Davis, Dr. Gladys Sampson, and Pastor Mary Wilson. Today here on Breakthrough Broadcast, we have an excited topic that we're going to be discussing today. It is dealing with problems in relationships. Our central truth for today is Christians are to strive to live in right relationship with others. Our key verse today will be taken from James, the second chapter, and that eighth verse. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. So if we love our neighbors, then we are going to do well. And we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Again, you are listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast. You're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And wherever you may be at this time, why don't you just take this time if you can and reverence the Most High God. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for the great and for the mighty things, God, that you have done. We thank you for the great and mighty things that you're going to do, God, according to your word. We thank you today, God, because your word is a lamp unto our feet, and your word is a light unto our pathway. And our word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Holy Father, have your way, move in the inmost part of our soul and our spirit. God, those that are listening, God, through the airwaves, God, we ask you, God, even now, God, to endure them with power from on high. We ask you, God, to touch them, Father. We ask you, God, to give them what they need today. God, your word, they ask and it shall be given. God, you said to seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open. So, Lord, call the word to be open until this day. Give them revelation of your word. God, call them, Father God, to hear and to receive and to understand that which has been given on today. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, even during this broadcast, God, call souls to be saved, lives to be changed. We pray, God, even now, that those that are sick have been buried in their body by the supernatural power of the Most High God. I pray, God, now that they will be healed and they will be delivered. And for this, we will bless and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We just want you to know today that today is a day that you are blessed to be a part of the Breakthrough Broadcast, because I believe that we have an excited topic that you want to hear, you want to listen to, you want to be able to call somebody, tell them, why don't you tune in to the Breakthrough Broadcast, and so that you can hear what they're going to be discussing. And again, our topic is dealing with problems in relationship. Our subtopics will be on today: acknowledging mistreatment of others. That topic number two will be correct injustice. And our third topic will be a set of godly example. So we're getting ready. We're getting ready to hear what the word of God is about to say to us today. We're getting ready to hear from God on high. We're going to ask at this time that you welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast, Miss Helen Hooper. She's going to come, and she's going to talk about acknowledge the mistreatment of others, which is taken from Nehemiah, the 5th chapter, 1st through the 8th verse. Miss Helen Hooper.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and welcome to our listeners. I welcome you today to the Breakthrough Broadcast, to our panelists, Breakthrough Family. I'm going to be coming from Nehemiah 5th chapter, the 1st through the 8th verse, and it's acknowledge mistreatment of others, and it reads, "And there was a great cry of the people and their wives against their brethren Jews. For there were that said, we are sons and our daughters are many, therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. So also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dress. There was also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. You now are our flesh is as flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brethren. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold into the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? For shall they be sold unto us? Then held their peace, and found nothing to answer." So we see here in Nehemiah, the 5th chapter, the 1st through the 8th verse, that Nehemiah is rebuking the rich Jews and for usury of the people who had less or who was less fortunate than they were. We see here he's very angry for them to be using the other people, and he has to stop. When I was reading this, he has to stop the work on the wall because of the outcry of the people. And I was thinking, like, God's work has to stop. When God has applied something to our hands, like he's applied to Nehemiah's hand to rebuild the walls, and the work of God had to stop because he had to rebuke the people. He had to rebuke the Jews who were using God's people, who were taking advantage of them because they were less fortunate, who had to sell off everything or sell their sons and their daughters into slavery. He had to stop what he was doing because of the exploitation of the Jews, some of the Jews. And people were just taking advantage and just run because they didn't have money to pay for food. They were charging them higher taxes, and they were taking over their land. They were taking over their daughters and their sons, and their daughters being used into slavery or sold into slavery. And here we see, and I was thinking most of the time in the body of Christ these days, we do that to the body of Christ. We have people that come to us and that are applied to our hands and that come to church and that come into our ministries and that God has applied them to our hands, and it's just like usury because we don't give them really what they need. We see a need there, but then some of the body of Christ, not all the body of Christ, because there are some men and women of God that are awesome women of God. They are preaching the unadulterated word of God, and they stand on his word, and it doesn't change. They love the Lord, and they are preaching and teaching God's word, but there are some in the body of Christ that will use God's people when they see a need. And I liken it to when a person comes into church or he comes into a ministry and you see a need there, God has sent him there to that ministry. He sent him there to get a deliverance. He sent them there to further them in the body of Christ. And then it's exploited because then some people start thinking, oh, you know something? I can fill up my church right there. I'm not going to tell him right away what God will have me to say to him because I want him to stay for a minute. But the truth being, if we tell them what thus says the Lord early on and get that deliverance and get them to where we need to, where they need to be, they will stay a little bit longer. But we don't do that because some people in the body of Christ, some leaders of the churches in the body of Christ see something that they need, their own selfish needs. And I was reading this, and when Nehemiah was rebuking them, and he said he consulted with himself, and And he went to talk to them and tell them, like, look, you are using God's people. You're taking advantage of them. And this was wrong. And he was angry. And he was angry over the injustice that he saw. So he went on to tell them how they were using God's people. And they had to give an account for that. And the Word of God tells us, I think it's over in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that we have to, all of us have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we have to give an account for what we did, and we will get our just due. And when I was reading this, and the body of Christ today, it's actually really no different. We need to expose the devil for who he is in the church. We need to tell people what God would have us to tell them. We don't need to think about our own selfish needs when it comes to God's people, because they have a need, and God has sent them there for deliverance. Sometimes we hold people's deliverance in our hand because of our own selfish needs. They have a need, and then you see a need that you have, and it's not white. So we're in the body of Christ these days exploiting God's people. He sends them to us for a reason. And here when I was reading this and looking at how Nehemiah, he rebuked them. That's what we need to do in the body of Christ today. We need to rebuke what we see as wrong. We need to rebuke what we see wrongdoing. We need to rebuke those who are in leadership positions who are not doing what they're supposed to do. That's why there is no deliverance in the churches these days. That's why people cannot get their walk with God right, because of wrong teachings and usury and exploitation, because people have a need. When God sends people to his places of worship, when God sends them people to ministries, he means for us to do what he has applied to our hands. He doesn't mean us to veer off and to do something that we think we need or get what we need, because that comes with the territory. When you do God's bidding, when you do his work, he will surely turn around and bless you for doing exactly what he told you to do. He trusted Nehemiah. He put this work in his hand. He knew that he can trust him because his heart, he loved God. He was genuine for God. He had a genuine love for the Lord. He had a genuine love for God's people. So he would not see them hurt. He would not see them used. So he had to stop the work that he was doing in order to rebuke the people, the Jews, for using. So that's what we have to do to get them in right standing, to get them in order. And I'll read on down when he said, when he confronted them, when he rebuked them, they had nothing to say for themselves because they knew they were wrong. And in the body of Christ, they say, we have to do that today. We have to get back to the old church. We have to get back to what God has applied to our hand and see the vision that he's put in our hand. And the people that come to us, we have to get in there and see what their needs are. Most of the time when you come, the man and woman of God can see the need that you have. Because people come hurt and broken, and they still leave in church hurt and broken because of our selfish needs and our selfish wants. We want to fill up the pews, and we want to fill up the pulpit, but we are not doing what God would have us to do. That is usury, and we do have to stand. We do have to stand before God and give an account. Sometimes I think when I go to some services and I see, even on the television, even the televangelists, some of our big-name preachers, and I see them, how they, and I'm not talking about every woman and man of God, because it is not true. Like I said, there are women and men of God in the city of Jacksonville and all over the world that are preaching the unadulterated word of God, and they are genuine to their heart. They are preaching to God's people. But there are some that are, I call it pimping the gifts that God gave them. They don't have any integrity. There is no character there, and you can see it. And usually God uncovers that. And sometimes you can see, And they can see it too, because God, if God's speaking to you like you say he's speaking to you, you know you're doing wrong. So this is what Nehemiah is doing. He's rebuking the people because they are taking advantage of God's people, and he would not have it to be so, and God would not have it to be so. And this day and time, and the churches, he will not have it to be so, because he has the work to get done. He wants us to build his kingdom, to build his kingdom, and we have to go out and get his people, but we cannot do any and everything in the body of Christ. I know when the head is out of order, the whole body follows. So we have to get in order. Just like Nehemiah is setting them in order here, telling them they're wrong. We should rebuke, and we should see, we should stand on God's word and not be ashamed to rebuke what we see that is wrong and wrongdoing to God's people, because he would have it to be so. And the job that I have, there are people that come out. There are a lot of pastors and preachers that come out because God has applied that to my hand. I cannot let everybody come in and take advantage of God's people. No matter who they are, no matter where they live, no matter what side of town they live on, they are still God's people. No matter what they're doing, they are still God's people. And God would not have it to be so. I don't want any blood on my hand. So I have to rebuke, or I have to dismiss things that I know that's going to come in and be a robbery to God's people. And that's what Nehemiah is doing here. He was very angry over their injustices, and he set them straight. He just rebuked them and went on to say, you know, and they had nothing to say for themselves. So I'm saying to the listeners today, let's build God's kingdom. Let's get our integrity back. Let's get our character back. Let's do excellence in God's work. That's what Nehemiah was doing here. We have to do excellence in God's work because we want to build his kingdom, and we want people to come to the Lord. But if they see you doing all kinds of things and you see an opportunity there that is not of God, then you got to go back and check yourself. So right here where he was rebuking them, we need to do that. We need to be angry over injustices. We need to set things straight in the body of Christ. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Hooper. And we thank God because we are here so that God is speaking to his people today all over our nation. We are talking about dealing with problems in relationship. Word of God says, seeking first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all of these other things will be added unto us. When we begin to look at the Word of God, acknowledging this treatment of others, you know, there has been conflict among people in our churches, in the body of Christ, on our job. It has been conflict. Conflict started from the beginning with Adam, with Eve, in the Garden of Eve. I realize sometimes conflict can be a normal part of humans, but yet when we accept Christ into our heart, when we accept him as being our Lord, our Savior, then we should not have a lot of conflict among Christians, and we ought to be able to do and bring peace like Nehemiah did. He came in order to rebuild the wall. God gave him that passion. God gave him the wisdom and knowledge. He gave them that leadership ability to be able to rebuild the wall. And then when we look at this, it wasn't just a natural wall, but walls need to be built in the heart of the people so they'll get rid of things that they were carrying and the things and their mentality and the things that they were thinking. So he was doing a twofold thing. He was able to build the walls, encourage the people to build the walls, and also to be able to get the people to not to walk in conflict. When we look at the book of Nehemiah, that fifth chapter, all through that verse, through that 19th verse of Nehemiah, we see that, yes, he was building the walls of Jerusalem. We see a number of conflicts that was happening while he was there. And I believe God had him to go to meet and expose the conflict among the people. How can two walk together except they are in agreement? Here's the word telling us of the enemies of the Jewish remnant, and they have sought to keep the walls from being built. They didn't want the walls built. So therefore, when they didn't want something to happen, then they stood in the way. Come on, ask yourself today, are you in the way? Are you causing conflict? Are you that person if they're in order to rebuild? Are you there in order to tear down the kingdom? It tells us that when they tried, these people, they were there to try to obstruct in every opportunity that they had in order to obstruct the building of this wall. There were quarries. People were quarreling among themselves. They were unhappy. They were sad because of the situation that was going on at this time. How can you build a wall together when you got so many people that quarreling and they were dissatisfied and they were angry and they didn't want to put up with anything anymore? What had been going on? So I believe that God use the situation, use this man of God to be able to come in and to cause things to be made corrected and made right and correct these things that was out of
Are you fighting on your job? Are you in disagreement in your job? Are you disharmony on your job? Or are you in disharmony in your home? Are you disharmony in your church? What is this that you can change by the grace of God in order to make things happen? I believe Ms. Cooper was telling you today about the acknowledge. You need to acknowledge the mistreated. If you mistreated someone, you need to get that straight. You need to get that in order. How is God going to be able to come in the midst or come in your job or come in your home when you know that you are out of fellowship, when you're out of the word of God, when you're not doing the things that God will have you to do? Yes, she was telling you about the acknowledged mistreatment of others. And they had, Nehemiah had them, they had the knowledge to acknowledge what they were doing. If you don't acknowledge and you don't confess it, how are you going to change a condition that's not being fulfilled, a condition that is not good, a condition that's not solid? So, therefore, I thank God for Nehemiah being compassionate, being the man of God that he was. So now we're getting ready to move from acknowledgement of acknowledging mistreatment of others, and then we're going to move to correct injustice, because there are injustice in our land, and we need to be able to correct that. There was injustice when we began to think about Nehemiah, and so here, Elder Natasha Davis, and she's going to come and she's going to talk to us about Nehemiah, correct injustice. We'd like to welcome her to the Breakthrough broadcast.
Thank you so very much, Dr. McCoy. I'm excited to be with you on today. Greetings to you, the radio listening audience, and greetings also to the radio panelists joining us on today. We're talking about today in our study, correcting injustices. I thank the Lord today for his word, and I thank God for being able to be in the body of Christ, understanding that God is a God of order. And when God says something, he means what he says. And when he says in his words that we are to do things decently and in order, Dr. McCoy, I think about the word of God. And the word of God tells us that we must be decent and we must do things in order. The Bible says that we are to be corrected. And if there are going to be anything that is successful in the body of Christ, we have to know that it has to be done scripturally correct. And as Nehemiah approached the people of God, these were not people outside of the household of faith. The Bible says that the judgment will begin in the household of faith. So God's people have to understand that correction will come in our direction. Sister Hooper talked earlier about a whole bunch of things that is going on in the church. And we can go to church, we can have revival, we can have utterances from God through the men and women of God, the prophets. We can talk about Jubilee, we can talk about God bringing restoration. But a lot of times what we as the people of God don't want to do is talk about being corrected. A pastor, a leader, approach a situation, approaching auxiliaries, approaching strife that's going on our choir stands, approaching strife that's going on the deacon board, and competition that's going on among the evangelists. One of the things that God wants to do is to keep his house in order, because where there is no order, there is division. And God says that where there is division, there is no unity, and the kingdom can't stand, because a kingdom divided cannot stand. So simply put, we must be chastised, because God says that whom he loves, he does chastise. And so one of the things I love about this text on today, I love that Nehemiah's approach with the people was peaceable, because the word of the Lord says that to dwell peacefully with all men as much as lie within you. A lot of times strife is causing in our church. We have strife that we're dealing with in our churches, in our homes, because people are not
at peace. People are not at peace within themselves. People are plagued with tormenting spirits of being jealous, not having enough. And this is one of the things that drive people to steal and to be greedy and to be in unjust situations, is because when you don't have peace to understand that God will supply all of your needs, you begin to go and take that which belonged to someone else's, which these people were doing. They were really in a land of famine. They were in a time of drought. And if you were in a time of famine, a time of drought, the answer to your problem or to your issues today, radio listening audience, is not for you to go take that which it belongs to another man's, but it is to wait on God and to understand that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And so I just love today that the word of God says that what Nehemiah did in the word of God, Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 9 says, "So I continue, what you're doing is not right. So you should not walk in the fear of God to avoid the reproach of the Gentile enemies." Verse 10 says that I and my brethren and my men are also leading the people and lending the people money and grain. But let the exact, or he's saying to them, to let this exacting or this extracting and this usury be stopped. Give back the people their lands and fields immediately, their olive groves and their houses. He charged them with a responsibility to stop stealing and taking that and abusing their authority, abusing their opportunities to take advantage of other people, stop abusing the people of God. Verse 12, he said, the response that came back says that we will give it back, they said, and we will not demand anything more from them. You can always get a positive response back from people if you come to them in a right spirit. Nehemiah went to the people of God. He went to his brothers, the Jews, and he let them know what you're doing is not right. But if you go to a situation, you go to a brother or to a sister in the Lord, and they are not right, the Bible says that you are to go to them in love. We are to rebuke people, and we are to tell them the truth in love. So Nehemiah went to them. He didn't make any demands of them. He just walked in his authority. And today, people of God, I want to let you know that when you start off peaceful in a situation, the result will always be peaceful, because the word says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And at the bottom of that portion of scripture, the Bible says that against such there is no law. Nothing will ever rise up against you when you operate in the fruit of the Spirit. When you operate in peacefulness, you will receive all the results. These people complied with what Nehemiah wanted them to do. They complied. They saw their conviction. Anytime you come to a person out of love, you come to them out of peace, people will understand that what they are doing is wrong. But when you show to the flesh, you will of the flesh corruption. Anytime you go to a person with the mindset of telling them off and giving them a piece of your mind, there'll be no resolve. There'll be no peacefulness. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, I believe, that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So when you come to a person in peace, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not evil, to bring you to an expected end." When you begin to open up your mouth in any situation, bringing correction, bring understanding, you got to realize and you got to know the end result from your conversation or you confronting the person should not be confrontation, but the end should be peacefulness and restoration. The Bible says that the word of God is profitable for correction. And when we come to people with the word of God and using the word of God in love, conviction will fall, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to convince people who hear the word of God that you've heard the truth, now you must comply. Even in evangelism, when you tell people that Jesus is Lord and that you should repent of your sins and receive Christ today as your Savior, depending on how you approach that person in love, you don't approach people like the word of God says today in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 9. He said, "What you're doing is not right, and you shouldn't walk in fear of God, trying to avoid the reproach of our the Gentile enemies. So many times we try to avoid situations just because we don't want the repercussions, instead of doing them because it's right in the eyes of God. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so if you don't do things in the fear of the Lord to respect and honor who he is, everything that you do thereafter will not yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness, and that's what we want. That's what we want even after correction. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says that there is no chastisement for this present that seems to be joyous, but it's grievous, but nevertheless, thereafter it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. So the correction of the injustice came after Nehemiah gave the word of God to the people of God, and because they are his people, he said, if you are my people, you are called by my name. The Jews are God's people. The Gentiles, after Christ is now risen, we are all his people, and we have a part, and we have been given the promise to the tree of life. But we must realize and we must understand that we have to approach situations and conflicts, and even in our relationships, you have a spat and with your spouse, you have in situations and issues, even with your children. You got to come to the people of God in love. Preachers, pastors, apostles, bishops, anything that we want to have done, even in our community, in our city, we got to go to City Hall with a mind, and we come to be peaceful. We come to call some situations in our communities to change, but not because we're being arrogant and puffed up, but because we walk in peace. We are the peacekeepers and the peacemakers, which is the love of God. God says that they'll know us by our love. And so, Dr. McCoy, in resolution to how we approach situations, one of the things we must remember is that we must approach situations, first of all, using the word of God. Second of all, understanding that the end result of any conflict has to be peace when you approach it in the word of God. And thirdly, they always will comply. Any injustice will always be flipped around and turned around, and those that are against you will have to be for you and on your side when you come to a person in love using the word of God. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Alistair Davis. We thank God today because here we see God in motion, God moving, God teaching, God instructing. He is showing us as believers and as people how we should first acknowledge mistreatment of others. That's what we talked about in Nehemiah 5:1-8. And then we went to correct injustice, and by Elder Natasha Davis. And she talked about there in Nehemiah 5:9-13. I thank God because it tells us in simple form by the word of God how we are to deal with correction and injustice. And I thank God for that scripture. When she was speaking, it came to mind where the word of God says to follow peace with all men, holiness without no man shall see the Lord. So therefore, we need to seek our injustice in a way that is pleasing to God. The way that we sometimes try to correct things is not of God. But the way that we can do things, with the Bible says, remember, the word of God says, with love and kindness have I drawn you. There are many of us have been in sin and transgression. Many of us have been adulterers and backbiters. Many of us have not lived according to the word of God because we didn't know God. But by the word of God, God says, with the love of God, with his love and kindness have he drawn us. That's why we're saved. But we want to be continually filled with his spirit, and we want to walk that walk according to his word. So I don't know about you today. Yes, you're listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast, and you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, tell them that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. So we talked about the correct
injustice. Now we're getting ready to hear from the woman of God as she come and as she tell us and talk to us by the wayside from Nehemiah, the 5th chapter, 14 through that 19th verse. And that topic, subtopic there is set a godly example. Come on. Set a godly example. And at this time, we'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Pastor Mary Wilson to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Pastor Wilson.
Good afternoon, Dr. McCoy, and God bless all of our listening audience today and to the panelists. God bless you. I'll be coming from Nehemiah 5, verses 17 through 19. The word of the Lord reads as follows. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. My topic is setting a godly example. And I think that we get this mixed up sometimes. I know we're referring to Nehemiah, who was certainly a leader at this time, but we're all called. We've all been called out of darkness into light, which means we all are leaders in some aspect. It's not just for the pastors. It's not just for the prophets, the evangelists, or the teachers. This word is for every one of us. All of us are called to set a godly example, which means to live holy in the earth realm. So many people, and we've heard this cliche, we've heard it over and over, that we may be the only Christ that some people see. We may be the only example of God that people may ever see. So it's bigger. So many of us have mastered looking right. We've mastered looking the part, and some of us, we can sound the part, but God is looking for in our inward parts. You know, it's not just about the exterior. It's about the interior. So when we hear set a godly example, what does that really mean? It means that we're living holy, set apart, consecrated, sanctified for the use of the master. And I think in this day and age, that's so important and imperative to what's going on. So much negativity is going on in the earth realm, even, you know, referring to what has happened in Connecticut. We need some Christians, some models of what is holy and righteous to rise up and lead this earth in a godly manner. We need people who will not compromise. We need people who will say, for God I live and for God I die. We need people who will resist the devil and make him flee. Too many of us will compromise. So we don't have the strength of Nehemiah when stuff is being offered to us and the people are in burden and they're in heaviness. We're sitting down and we're relaxing when the world is crying out for so much help, and that's so many of us. We're accepting the bread when we ought to be working. And when we look at Nehemiah, he had the opportunity to sit down because of his title, but he decided to work. He didn't sit down because the burden of the people was too heavy. And if we look at the earth realm today, the burden of the people is too heavy, not just for pastors and those of us with titles, but for people of us who have been called out, the Ecclesiastes, the called out ones of the living God. We've got to get up and we've got to work. The earth is dying. The world is dying. People are going to hell every day, and we're seated and we're ignoring what's going on in the earth realm. If we want to set a godly example, go to work and tell your fellow coworkers about Christ. If we want to set a godly example, live something before your children. If you want to set a godly example, live something before your church members. Don't just speak it out of your mouth. Shut your mouth and let them see it out of you. Let your every being be a model of who Christ is in the earth realm. God needs a holy vessel. And as I told my church on Wednesday, as we go deeper into God, our realms, our levels of holiness should increase. As I go higher in this walk with Christ, then my separation from the world should become even greater. So when I look back as to when I first gave my life to Christ, I should be living a more holier lifestyle per se as before when I first gave my life to Christ. The separation should be even greater. So we're talking about setting a godly example. It's easy to say. How many of us can mock and make a sound? We've seen people, they sound saved and they have on the right clothes, but if we take an x-ray and can go to the innermost parts of their being, are they really living holy? If we can go behind your closed doors, are you an example of Christ in the earth realm? That's what we need in this era. We don't need people just preaching it and ain't living it. We need some examples. Can we go in your home and you still living holy, not just in the sanctuary? Can we go to your house and see you speaking in tongues, the same stuff that we see you do in the sanctuary? Can we see it in your home? That's what has got to happen. Can we see you living like something before your family and your children and not compromising? Every time the devil offers you something off of his plate, are you turning to eat it, or are you denying him and seeking after God with everything that's within you? So in this time frame, we have got to be holy examples in a dying world. And if we don't do it now, we'll never do it. We have got to wake up. How many times are we seeing the same stuff cycling happen over and over again? What just happened? We've seen that happen before, but Christians, we get so lazy and we get off of what we're supposed to be doing and we start relaxing, and that's when the enemy hits again. But we better be like Nehemiah. Stand guard. Get people on guard. Hey, we know that there are some Sanballats and Tobiases coming against us, so let us put a plan in place to work and still accomplish what God has said for us to do, because the enemy, he ain't stopping attacking. He's coming heavier than ever before. But are we standing true God? Are we setting a godly example? Because if we set a godly example, God, we know he's going to defeat Satan. So I think that we should be defeating some stuff in the earth realm if we're going to be like God. Some stuff we should be victorious over. The devil is ruling and reigning too much, and we're calling ourselves the children of the Almighty. We have power and authority that we need to tap into. We need to set a godly example. Make people in the world want to be like Christians. So many of our children, they're looking at the world and they're wanting to be like the world. Why not want to be like you? If you're living something, somebody should want to model after you. If you're living something, somebody should want to be like you. Why not you set the next trend of holiness and righteousness, and someone look at you and say, I want to be like her, because they see the light of Christ shining on the inside of you. But the world is louder than the Christians. So our children and some of these people on the outside, they hear the world, because we're not on the corners hollering, come to Jesus. We're not on the outside. We're stuck in the church thinking that that's going to change something. It's bigger than the church. So we've got to open our eyes and realize if we're going to set a godly example, go downtown on the corner, take you a microphone, and yell Jesus. If you want to do something, get outside. You know, stop wanting to be the title. Stop wanting to be served and go serve somebody else. In this day and age, we have got to do it. The world is crying out for the sons and daughters of God to raise up and be who God has declared you to be. Will you be a Saul? Will you just lead the people in an unholy, unrighteous manner? Or will you be like Christ? And even being crucified, you say, not my will, but your will be done, Father. That's a godly example. That's where we need to be. So today I say we need to set an example in the earth realm. It's time out for playing. It's time out for trying to be the next person on TV, trying to be the greatest person on the radio. Go downtown and be the greatest evangelist on the corner. Go to the hospital and be the greatest healer in the closet where nobody sees you. Not trying to make your name great, but trying to make the name of Jesus Christ known. Trying to lift up the name of God. That's when we become examples. Too many of us, we're so worried about being national. Who cares if you're national if you ain't tapped into the neighborhood yet? There are people dying in your neighborhood. People dying next door to you. Your neighbors are headed to hell, but you want to be on TBN? The devil is a lie. Go next door, knock on the door. Ask them, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? We're too worried about going to the nation when the neighborhood is dying. We're so busy trying to leave Jacksonville, and Jacksonville is dying. How are you called to the nation, and you can't even slay the neighborhood? How are you called outside of Florida, and you can't even witness inside of Florida's boundaries? You don't even know the territory that God has given you, but you want to tap into somebody else's territory. The devil is a lie. We got to wake up and we want to be an example. Be it now before it's too late, because soon Christ will crack the sky and you're going to have an opportunity to go before the master. And my prayer is that he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Wilson. I thank God for the word of God today. When I began to listen at the word of God, I began in my mind to think that the word of God said to let your light so shine before men that others would see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. It is God that should be glorified. It's just God that should be praised. And then we should not live according to our own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is by faith. When we can live according to God's righteousness, not our own righteousness, then I believe that we can please God. We're talking about today dealing with problems in relationships. And I just want to take a few minutes, and I'm going to be talking to our panelists, women of God, women and inspiration, men of women of God that God have called to the forefront. And we want to just pose a question. I just want them to take less than a minute or so just to go and just to talk about maybe a minute, but not more than a minute. And we want them to just to talk about what this statement or the question that I'm going to pose to them on today. And that is, why do Christians sometimes fail to view struggling people through compassionate eyes? Question again, why do Christians sometimes fail to view struggling people through compassionate eyes? And I'm going to go to Ms. Helen Hooper. You have 1 minute, Ms. Hooper. Ms. Helen Hooper.
Okay, Dr. McCoy, I'm sorry. Because I think they fail because sometimes we lead and we bleed. We're bleeding while we're leading. And sometimes we, as women and men of God, get tired. And sometimes we don't see actually that the needs that person have because we have such great needs. And like I was saying earlier, but we need to get before God and we need to seek his face and see what it is that he would have us. When he sends us people, when he sends people in our presence, when he sends people to us, that means that he has a work for us to do with that person. And sometimes we get tired as men and women of God, but we need to just put on the full armor of God. We need to pray. We need to do what he would have us to do with that person, with that congregation, with, like Pastor Wilson was saying, with that neighborhood, with that community, whatever he is applied to our hands. We need to stop being tired and sitting back. We need to get a work done for God. We need to be stronger Christians. And I think we just feel because sometimes we get tired and we overlook the obvious. We overlook things that God puts right in our face. We overlook people that come to us with problems because we are dealing so much with things that are going on within ourselves. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Hoover. We're going right now to Elder Natasha Davis, and we're going to ask her that same question. Elder Davis.
Dr. McCoy, to address the question, I really believe it is a tactic of the enemy to cause the saints of God to put their eyes on their own situations and to put their mindsets on their own situations and not be compassionate and get this me series or this me mindset or attitude going on about us. If we are concentrating and focusing too much on ourselves and too much on what's going on with us, we'll be desensitized to our brothers and our neighbors. The word of the Lord says not to be so concerned about what's going on with us, but to be concerned about that which is going on with your neighbor or with your brother. But I really believe that I can say to that question that it's just a strategy. It's a tactic of the enemy to weaken us and to cause us to be weary and to cause us to be desensitized to the needs of others and to cause us to not focus or pay attention and to be close-hearted to what's going on to someone else. So to that, I would say, Dr. McCoy, that a part of that is a demonic strategy. And God says that he will not have us to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And I believe that it is a strategic device by the enemy. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Elder Natasha. I'm going to pose that same question to Pastor Mary Wilson, Pastor Wilson.
Dr. McCoy, to answer the question, I think sometimes we forget, simply put, we forget where we came from. Each one of us, we've had our own struggle in life. All of us have had to deal with something, and we've come out of that. A lot of us have come out of that, but we forget where we came from. So we lose the compassion, or we start to believe that they're there because they want to be. Ain't nobody struggling because they want to be. A lot of time there are some issues, some demonic strongholds that need to be broken, and if people are able to break them themselves, they would. So I think a lot of times we forget that we have struggled, and a lot of times we think we have arrived, and we ain't arrived. We're just called to be servants of the living God. So I think sometimes we just need to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, and just remember who we are in Christ. And if Christ can wash feet, then surely we ain't nobody, you know. Surely we got to think of ourselves, because a lot of us, we done got puffed up, and a lot of us pride, that spirit of Leviathan has gotten on us, and we are walking in so much pride, and we have forgot that we have been through ourselves. So we look down on people, and those same people were once us, and to be honest, could still be us, if not be the grace of God. So I think we just need to think about it and say, hey, that was once me, or better yet, it could be me if it wasn't for the grace of the Father. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Wilson. Elder Ladies of Zion, the people of God that God have ordained for this day and this time. And I want to thank God, but I want to thank God for Ms. Helen Hooper, Elder Natasha Davis, Dr. Gladys Sampson, Pastor Mary Wilson. We're getting ready right now to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for the great, for the mighty things, God, that you have done. Oh, God, thank you for the great and mighty things, God, that you're going to do according to your word. Lord, we just thank you, God, for how you brought us this form by faith. Lord, through this broadcast, I thank you, God, for new revelation, God, for new understanding. God, I thank you for touching the heart of men and women, boys and girls, Lord God. I thank you, God, for going, God, in the name of Jesus, into the different places, whether they are CEOs, and the mayor, the governor, God, that their mindset has been changed unto God, that their minds, Lord God, will be the mind of Christ. I pray, God, even now, Lord God, that if some that are not saved, God, if they don't know you as the Lord and Savior, I pray, God, even now that they, God, will receive you. God, your word say, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. God, the word of God said that we shall be saved. And I say, God, even now, Lord, as they listen unto today, God, to let them know, yes, they can be saved. No matter what they've done in their life, no matter what course, God, they have run, and what course, God, that they, Father God, have been through, God. And God, I ask you, Lord, of life, God. I ask you, Lord God, to touch them. Lord, to let them know, God, that you're God and that you're God all by yourself. And God, that you are one that forgives. God, you're the one that has a listening ear. God, you're the one that sees the heart. God, you're the one that sees, God, their heart, and they want, God, for you to come in and to make a difference in their life. So, Lord, I pray even now that they realize that they, no matter what they have done yesterday, God, 2 years ago, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will forgive them for their sin, for their transgression, and God, that you love them. God, your word says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, God, I speak everlasting life, God, to those that hear, God, those that repent, God, those that turn around, God, those that, God, that compassionate towards you, that want, Father God, to love you, God, with all their heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And I pray, God, even now, that you'll touch those that in the hospital, those, God, in the nursing home, those, God, in rehabilitation place. I pray, God, that you'll touch the mother and the father, the sisters and the brothers, Lord God. God, the members of the family, Lord God. God, that those that was murdered, God, on yesterday, God. I pray, God, that you, Lord God, will heal their broken heart. God, that you will bind up their wounds, God. God, that you will keep them, Father God. God, you said that you would heal their broken heart. And I see God to heal their broken heart. God, touch them right now. God, in the midnight, early in the morning, all during the day, God. Touch them, Father God. God, that they will have that peace. God, that they have that blessed assurance. God, that you have not left them. And God, neither will you forsake them. And Father, for this we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Why don't you tune in next Saturday at the same time? May God bless and keep you is our prayer.